Hey friends, you're tuning into Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives. All right. Well, Jen, thank you so much for doing this with me. I'm very excited. We were just talking, but I have not met anybody else in the mind body space who is also a Christian. And so it is, I'm just very excited. I think there have been a lot of people I've been able to learn from and talk with who have such amazing and valid insight and information that, you know, we all have been learning from. But I think there's just, I mean, the most important component to all of this is the role that faith plays and that the way that God has created our brains and our bodies. So I've been telling all my friends, I'm like, oh my gosh, I finally found somebody who talks about my body and Jesus. So thank you so much for taking this time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I echo all of that. It is so exciting to be here with just having the understanding of the mind-body connection, you and I both having that. And also, yeah, being able to talk about faith is just such a huge part of this journey. So I'm really thankful to be having this conversation with you. It's so exciting.
Yes, yes, yeah. So can you kind of start us off how you got into the mind-body space? And just, I know you have your own testimony with pain as well.
Yeah. So should I start with my own personal story of pain then?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Once upon a time, I was just living my life like one does. And seemingly out of the middle of nowhere, I started collecting symptoms and also just started going to the doctors and going to different specialists, going to physical therapists, all the things that you hear anybody who is healed from mind-body syndrome talk about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I don't feel like I need to unpack all that. If you're listening, you probably are in this story too, where, or have been in the story where you're going to the doctor and trying to find an answer, anything to make you feel safe and known and to understand what is happening. Mm-hmm. And so I was deep in the trenches of that, and pain kept getting worse and worse, and all the symptoms that I had, which, you know, there's debate within the mind-body community as to how important it is to share your symptoms and how much to talk about them. But it is nice to know for people that their symptom is potentially mind-body syndrome.
So totally.
I had everything from TMJ to stress headaches to fibromyalgia, central sensitization, carpal tunnel, just all the things, SIBO, small intestine bacteria overgrowth, insomnia, just kind of the whole gamut. Mm. And it stole my life from me after a while.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what was happening. And then one day, this was years later, I remember I was sitting on the couch and I found this physical therapist website that described chronic pain as the fight or flight nervous system being chronically activated. Wow. And I read that and was just blown away. Mm-hmm. I knew immediately that's me.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't, like most of us, I hadn't seen the parallel between what was happening in my life and the symptoms. You know, it's like people will often say, I had a terrible weekend and on top of that, I had a headache. Well, no, they actually happened together and because of one another.
Yeah.
So when I read that, I just was immediately knew, okay, well, that's me.
Yeah.
So where do I go from here, right? Because I still hadn't discovered TMS or mind-body syndrome or neuroplastic pain. What do you tend to call it, by the way?
Lately, I've just been thinking of mind-body syndrome. But I started TMS because that's how I learned about it as well. And so, yeah. What do you tend to call it?
I tend to call it mind-body syndrome also. Yeah. I like the clarity of the mind-body. It's just really clear people don't have as many, not as much confusion around that, I guess.
Yeah, right. Totally.
But I did find that confusing in the beginning also to know there were so many synonyms for this thing. So
right.
I would read things and be like, wait, what is neuroplastic pain? Is that the same as mind-body syndrome? Is that the same
as
neural circuit pain?
Totally.
And for those of you listening, yes, they're all synonyms.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where was I in my story? So I discovered it and then immediately remembered that somebody like a year in the past had told me about DNRS, Dynamic Neural Retraining Systems. Mm-hmm. And so I bought that and immediately started down the journey of healing through that path, which didn't end up being enough for me. I needed more than DNRS personally. I needed a lot more emotional sifting through and working. Mm-hmm. But that was my first introduction to anything related to mind-body syndrome. Had you heard of DNRS before?
I've heard of it. I've never tried it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been interested. I think with all the other things I've like invested in, I'm like, I'm going to try and do the cheapest route possible.
Okay. Yeah. That's funny.
But it does intrigue me for sure. And I would be interested in trying it, definitely.
Yeah. So I did that and I immediately did experience some, well, I shouldn't say immediately. I should say within probably like 3 weeks or something like that, I started to notice a slight change in my symptoms, which was enough for me to just know this is it.
Yeah.
And actually rewinding a little bit, as soon as I actually read that physical therapist description of, you know, fight or flight nervous system is stuck on, I got out a piece of paper and I just started writing everything that I knew that my brain, my body, my thoughts, my emotions were holding on to from my past. And in doing that, I did see, okay, I have a lot more, now I would call them micro traumas and trauma that I don't have peace around. I do not have safety in my brain. I wasn't using this type of language at that time, but in retrospect, I realized, okay, I'm definitely living in fight or flight because of these things that happened. And I didn't know any different. I didn't know that I needed to move towards these things to resolve them. I thought, move on as quickly as I can and forget, you know, these things happened or that this emotion is living in me. I just didn't think of any of that.
Right. Totally. Yeah. And I think for a lot of us, it's really scary too. So that's like impressive that you were like ready to go.
Yeah. I think there is something about when you get to a certain place where you're like, okay, I'll do whatever it takes.
Totally.
And at the same time, I don't think that prior to that, I wasn't willing to. I think it was more that I just didn't know how. Like, okay, so I have this emotion from this situation. What does it mean to resolve that? I mean, I knew they weren't resolved, but sure, I'd seen a counselor or some, but I was still stuck in this cyclical pattern. And then those cyclical emotional patterns of fight or flight, that's what we're talking about, fight or flight, freeze, fawn response. I'm stuck in those patterns. And then because of that, I have these symptoms that show up. And to me, the symptoms are unrelated to that. So I've got a new issue that adds another layer of the fight or flight, you know, threat physiology that's happening in my brain and body. Yeah. And so everything's just piling on one another and it's so overwhelming and confusing. But also then discovering, okay, there's this thing, mind-body syndrome was just so much hope for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I think one of the things that helped me was what, like the symptom imperative, kind of this idea of like different pains in your body are still kind of generating from the same place. For me, that was so, like you're saying, like more things piling on. I was like, oh, okay. It's not looking at like my head, you know, my migraines or like my, you know, arthritis that was called, you know, in my hips and my knees and my, all that kind of stuff. It's like, oh, this all kind of originates from the same place. You know, yeah. It's just showing up in different ways. That was super freeing for me because it's like, okay, one instead of like 25 different, you know, things you're trying to assess.
Right, right. We don't need to examine every single area of our body that's experiencing a symptom. We get to go to the right. source mm-hmm. and yeah. work from there and kind of yeah. watch them resolve. Yeah. Yeah, that symptom imperative is pretty trippy. When I, yeah. It's kind of interesting and fun when I'm working with clients now, mm-hmm. I get to see that show up and yeah. it's, I mean, it's almost always like second or third session with them, you know, some new symptom has mm-hmm. come about that's really creative of the brain to, you know, and yeah. seemingly scary. And so, right. yeah, having that education piece, knowing that the brain can move your symptoms around, mm-hmm. It's super interesting and also yeah. helps me to kind of calm down too, to be like, okay, mm-hmm. this new pain in my knee, it has right. nothing to do with the fact that I just ran a half a mile.
Right, know? Right. Yeah, totally, totally. Yeah. That's, yeah, it's so good. And so now how long have you been kind of teaching in the mind-body space?
Probably about a year and a half.
Okay.
Yeah. And okay. and I love it. Yeah. I absolutely love working with people and hearing their stories and just the hope that people start to experience when they start PNE, pain neuroscience education, is just really, it's so freeing for people to realize yeah. there's a way out, and it actually also incorporates God's goodness in this journey. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a beautiful, I don't know, combination of all these things that come together when you start to understand. For me, understanding yeah. the science of it mm-hmm. Was really important because
yeah.
if you don't understand the science, it can sound a little woo-woo, like what?
Totally.
What is she talking about?
Yes, 100%. Oh, yeah. And I don't know about you. I tried some things in the realm of desperation that now I look back and I'm like, oh, that was definitely really weirdly spiritual or like not, you know, like now I'm like, oh, okay. But when you're just desperate, you're like, okay, I mean, yeah, sure. I mean, to an extent, but I definitely got to a place where I was like, I'm down to try. Yeah. Really try anything. And so, yeah, I've done some repenting and just, you know, kind of talked with God about some of that stuff. But
wow, that's long? Really cool.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. It's, yeah. Because I think for, I don't know about you, it's like when all you're obsessed with, rightly so, is yeah. how do I get out of this pain? It's like, I don't know. My filter was a little off at times.
Yeah.
You know, there was like the medical medium. I don't know if you've heard of him.
I haven't.
He is he kind of made popular celery juice for mm-hmm. a while. Mm-hmm. And so I remember I bought his book because he just was talking about health recipes and all this stuff. And then I'm like reading through it and I was like, oh, he's talking about consulting spirit. Like, so he consults spirit for these medical practices. And I was like, oh, and so I had just been reading about, I forget which king it was that consulted the medium. I was like, oh, okay. So I threw the book away right away. And I was just like, okay, Lord, I apologize. Like, this is not, you know, but it's just, I wasn't necessarily, I just was like, yeah, what do you have to say? Sure. Let me try it.
Yeah. I'll do anything.
Yeah. 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 So how long did it take you to become like symptom free or find healing?
Yeah, I think, symptom free is a really interesting way of putting that. So
it is. Yes. That. I didn't like the way that I said that. That's why yeah. I added healing.
Yes. I mean, it was such I know that listeners can't see this, but my healing journey was up and down and up and down. And if you had looked at a graph of my healing, there was a lot of lows in there that it's easy to get discouraged by. Yeah. And so I feel like probably at about 6 months, I was maybe 60% pain-free, which means like 60% less intensity and 60% less amount of time also in pain.
Yeah. Mm.
So I was having good chunks of time where I was pain-free. Mm. And I do mean pain-free. And then probably my story is backwards. I think most people hear about Curable first and they hear about John Sarno and Curable and then Dan Buglio. And that's kind of the route. Right. And I went definitely backwards and started creating my own healing program before I found Curable and before I found Howard Schubiner. So I think about 8 to 9 months, I would say I hit that like 80% and 90% pain-free, which is pretty much considered healed. Mm-hmm. We don't heal from the mind-body connection. We don't heal from the way that God created our bodies. We don't heal from our bodies. We don't heal from ever feeling in danger, which is what this is all about. Right. So there are times that I feel not quite safe and that is always an opportunity for me to go to God because we are talking, you know, when it's the mind-body connection, we are talking about safety. We're talking about an emotion of safety here.
Yeah.
And pain is an emotion. It's so crazy to think of it that way, but it really is. And that emotion, I mean, we're getting into the science of things, but that emotion is often correct. If you cut your finger, we do want to have the emotion of not feeling quite safe to put dirt in our wound.
Right.
The pain needs to stop us from, you know, washing the dishes without a glove on, et cetera, so that we can heal properly. And so with this work, we're just trying to rebalance it. But but in our humanity, in this, the fact that we live in a broken world, we do experience not feeling quite safe at times. But I would say at about 9 months, I started feeling like, okay, I am healed. Yeah. In general, I am safe. And most of that is due to who Jesus is to me. It's due to the gospel and to his love for me and his goodness in my mind, in my emotions, in the way that I'm wired. About 8 months, a year, something in that area. And I do like to clarify that because I, for sure, when I heard about it, I thought I can do this in 2 weeks. Right. I'm going to be that person.
Girl, yes, absolutely.
I'm a typical TMSer, which means I match, you know, all those, I can check all the boxes and the personality traits and and one of those is high achiever. And I was like, I'm going to heal tomorrow. Like, I'm good.
right. Try and stop me.
Yeah, exactly. But as we know, that doesn't work. When we use the very personality traits that brought us into pain as a source to get out, doesn't work.
Totally. Yeah. No, that's good. And we both cringed at the way I asked you that question because I think the intention of life isn't to necessarily be pain-free, like you're saying. Humanity is painful and there are going to be things that we go through that are painful. And the purpose of pain is to be protective, right? So like you're saying, if I cut my finger, I should feel that pain so that I know, you know, or the hot stove analogy, I should take it off the hot stove. But yeah, like learning the tools and the techniques and just the mindset of how I've already been created, right? Like I'm already healed. I keep just speaking this over myself. Like I am whole and healed. I'm not looking for something else to fulfill what I need to be healed. Like God already created us as whole and as healed. He is the healer. It's not something he just does. It's who he is. And so since we are created in his image, we are healed already. And so I think But yes, there's going to be times when we experience symptoms that are unpleasant.
Yeah.
That's just life.
Yeah. And that's such an interesting one. I think for some people, we really resonate with that. I'm already healed. That's just so empowering to say. I mean, I literally say that just now in echoing you.
Yeah.
And my body and my brain are like, yes, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. But some people need to say, I am healing. And and that's a little bit more powerful for them. And so,
totally.
Yeah. Good. And there's something too about this piece that I love talking about with you because it's so interesting that we live in a world that's broken and sin is real. And part of the reasons that my brain and body didn't feel safe, or my brain body, as people call it, didn't feel safe is because of sin that I have experienced and also sin that I have committed. Mm-hmm. And so there's the gospel makes us safe, not because I've never been in danger, but because of his grace for me and his goodness and his love and just all these things that I get to choose to allow to say, I'm healed. I'm okay. My body is 100% okay. Mm-hmm. There is nothing wrong with, for me, there was, I guess I did have one SIBO, small intestine bacteria overgrowth. That test was positive. Mm-hmm. But now they're starting to look at that more as like, there's a lot of people that are asymptomatic that would test positive or do test positive on these.
Totally.
But you know, I know that there are some people with chronic pain that have something slightly structural, that they're battling both something structural and mind body syndrome.
Right.
And that's a little bit more, well, there's a lot to discuss there.
Totally. When it comes to talking to believers specifically, when it comes to this stuff, how do you navigate the conversation about healing? Some people have asked me, and not in like a defensive way, but just asking like, so like, is this kind of taking place of like supernatural healing, or you know what I mean? Like any of the other ways that, you know, we've learned to heal. And, you know, I was prophesied over a few years ago. It was a good friend, and he was just like, you know, I feel like everything you're doing is right. And this was back when I was like, you know, testing for everything and doing every kind of protocol and treatment and all that kind of stuff. He's like, but I don't think this is where your healing is going to come from, but like you're on the right path to it. And he was a close friend. And so like, obviously I wouldn't say that to somebody who I didn't really know, but like now that I'm kind of in this space, I'm like, it's so interesting just thinking about healing in specific ways. Cause I want to hear your opinion, but I think sometimes in the church we're like, so are you saying that I can't be supernaturally healed, you know, from X, Y, Z? And it's like, absolutely not. I mean, I think one of the modalities of healing that God has given us is medicine and is, you know, learning about the way he created us. But
I absolutely believe that there's still miraculous healing in the Bible. Mm-hmm. I think that when he says it was a miracle. I don't think that it is the same as to what you're healing from and from what I healed from. I do think they are, I don't, and I reserve the right to change my mind on this, but at this point in time, that's where I stand, that they're different. Right. I had this discussion with my Bible study the other night. It's so interesting to have these conversations with people and when you haven't had the chance to unpack the neuroscience with people, they often think you are saying God miraculously healed you. Mm-hmm. And that is, God is the healer, and he created my body in a way that I can heal.
Yeah.
But I think that's different than saying he miraculously healed me one day.
Right.
Do you agree with that? And feel free to disagree.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I do. I think he is allowing healing for me in this way. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think, but I mean, I know that it is very like science based. This is me processing it out loud as well. Do I think it's like miraculous that I found this? Yeah. Mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But yeah, I definitely think it's different if I were to, you know, be prayed over and all of a sudden, a limb grew back, or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
All of a sudden all my pain was gone. You know, I definitely think it's a different scope, but like in the same way that I think God has given us doctors and he's given us like that, there are these modalities that he has created for us to be able to be healed, you know? So I don't think one is actually like better than the other in a way. I think one could be more exciting, you know what I mean? And like a lot more satisfactory, you know what I mean? Like to see something happen immediately versus over time.
Yeah.
Yes. But I think it's God's grace for me that I was able to find this, to learn how it's almost like he's taking us back to like his original design of like how he created us. Cause I think people love to, you know, there's the science in the Bible, arguments all the time. And, the more I've studied this, I'm like, this just like solidifies science for me. Like it doesn't raise concerns in that way when I'm learning, like, oh my gosh, when he says like I have the mind of Christ, and it's, and I'm thinking about like renewing my mind constantly.
Yep.
And then you think of the whole neural pathway conversation, or the fight or flight, or the learning how to navigate how I feel about fear and shame and guilt and all this kind of stuff. Like it's so much more simple than we've been taught to believe. Maybe simple isn't the word. Simple, not easier, I don't think, but maybe simpler, when we're literally looking at the way he designed our brains.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting now when I read the Bible, I realize, there's not much in here about taking care of your leg and your stomach and whatever symptom you may have, but there is a lot about your beliefs and your thoughts and what we are, our behavior, if you will. And I don't mean that in a legalistic way, but he cares about our beliefs and our thoughts and our emotions. And that is where our dispositions, how we treat one another, whether we trust him, which is an unbelievable gift for our nervous system. I like to be careful with this conversation because in the mind-body community, they often say, it's not your fault that you're in chronic pain. This is not your fault. Because when you start to understand, this is my brain, well, that means it must be my fault. I did this to myself.
Totally.
I remember at one point in time, right before I had discovered the mind-body connection, I was in a very stressful situation. And in that moment, all my symptoms just flared. Yeah. And I went back up to my office at the time and I just lost it because I thought I had damaged my emotional system. And I didn't even know what that meant at that time. I just knew, oh my gosh, when I experience emotions, my body is destroyed. And therefore I've done something in this space to destroy me.
Yeah.
And I love that about the mind-body connection, that it is not your fault. And that's a really interesting scientific piece that I love, that when we go through trauma and when we go through tough times, our brain wires itself in a way that protects you, and it is needed and it's helpful. And that's why God created the brain, to protect us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we learn these patterns when we're stuck in, especially in I'm going to say longevity of distress, of what is safe and what is not and how to protect yourself. But then it is wired, and it's in your body now that when you experience something, let's say you're triggered by it, even though you're no longer in the space and or you're not around the original trigger, but our bodies are still responding as if we are. And that's where you're talking about, like the renewing of the mind is so important, because otherwise our bodies and our brains just continue to live in the past.
Yeah.
And there's no renewing happening, but we have to reevaluate. We have to show our brains, hey, look, God brought me through that thing. Mm-hmm. I'm done. I like to do the whole shake it off, do something physical that really shows your body, hey, I made it through this thing. I did it. I am no longer in danger.
That's good.
Does that resonate with you?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that is really good. It does, because I think, like, even when you think about like anger, or, you know, I know we're like rage is a common term talked about.
Yeah.
And the way that so many of us have maybe misinterpreted, you know, the don't go to bed angry scripture.
Uh-huh.
And so then I think I definitely felt a lot of shame when I was realizing all this. I'm like, so you're just telling me I'm like this super unhealthy person and I made myself sick.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I lived for a little bit, right? And of course, like, I started feeling worse as I was pretty much just being like, wow, this is my fault. Why didn't I learn this earlier? Why didn't nobody tell me earlier? Like, there was that whole phase of like, why don't more people know about, you know, that whole thing. Yeah. And so then I kind of did a deep dive into anger, because it's just, I am very common people pleaser, and I could be very passive. The other day, somebody was late to lunch. We were supposed to have lunch, and like, they showed up really late and didn't text me. And usually, I'm usually super laid back about a lot of things, but the way that my week has been, I was so angry. Like, in my head, I'm just like, how dare you not think I'm worth your time to tell me you're going to be late? You don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? Like, I just exploded in my mind, not to the person. Yeah. Just in my mind. And it was just a funny thing. Yeah. Just to think about the way that we think about anger and stuff, because I think we just think it can be such a sin to have intense anger. And if we're not able to fully process and, you know, dissipate that anger by the time we go to bed, it's like, oh gosh, I'm doing something wrong. I'm a sinner, and I'm not navigating this well, especially relationships. Yeah. And I'm not married, but, you know, I know a lot of married couples like have that issue where it's like, we're not supposed to go to bed angry, but there's no chance we are figuring this out tonight.
Yeah. And I think that's just a really interesting piece of this all, because it is about acknowledging, part of healing is about confronting, acknowledging, recognizing, finding those emotions. And I personally was raised in a Christian home, and I don't know, were you? Wait, are you a pastor's kid?
I am. I'm PK.
Yeah, so I am too.
Yes, we're the best.
And so that piece of, you know, just reading in scripture, and I don't even think I was like necessarily taught it, but I learned that emotions are to be ignored or shoved aside. And we, you know, we're not to fear. And my trigger is fear. I know a lot of people's are anger, but mine is fear.
Okay.
I'm definitely in flight mode when I'm in pain or whatever. It's my go-to, that or fawn.
Yeah.
And so switching to recognizing, actually, I have to move towards these. These emotions are an invitation to draw near to God. Mm-hmm. That for me was a huge change, a pivotal point in my healing, is realizing, when I experience these things, I don't need to ignore them. I don't need to shove them under the nervous system rug. Mm-hmm. I need to go to God and say, here's my confession, whether, you know, mm-hmm. I don't mean confession as in like guilt ridden, but just like, here yeah. it is. This mm-hmm. is. This is how I feel. I am furious that my friend is late for coffee.
Right. Right.
and I think that's interesting too, because if you had told me, actually somebody did tell me once that they thought that I lived in fear. Mm. I was just like, uh-huh. No, I don't.
Yeah.
And just right. in complete denial. Mm. And in reality, I was in terror.
Yeah,
but we don't, wow. sometimes we just don't recognize it because we shove it so deep down and deny it that.
Yes.
Yeah. How was that yeah. for you to work through anger then? Was that, did you have, I don't know, fear about facing, acknowledging and admitting that you had fury or mm-hmm. what'd you call it, rage?
You know, I think at first I had no clue what it is that I felt about anything. Yeah. Yeah. I think. I was very passive to all of my emotion. So then I was very receptive to like, okay, what do I feel? I don't even know what I feel. And so I think realizing how much anger I had, I was just shocked at first. A lot of fear too, for sure. But I think even, I mean, shame was a huge one for me. There yep. was a ton of shame about yep. how I navigated my healing. Right. Of course, there was shame about my life before that. But I mean, I think I remember having a conversation with two women who we, you know, have been kind of navigating, starting it together. And I just remember weeping, like talking to them, because I was mm-hmm. like, I'm so embarrassed about how I've handled this.
Yeah.
And just, yeah. but I think saying it was really powerful.
Yeah,
because I even realized that up till now, there's still some certain ways that I live without even recognizing it.
Yeah,
because it's been such a habit mm-hmm. Of self-preservation and, you know, making sure I have capacity for the week that I have, or like my big thing. And I went to a chronic pain therapist for a while at the Pain Psychology Center.
Yeah.
Loved her. And I got to talk to Alan Gordon once wow. on like a phone call and stuff. And so just super helpful stuff. But what I really processed with her was like, being busy doesn't make me sick. Being freaked out about being busy makes me sick.
You know? I just had this conversation yesterday. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's so that one for me still now is very like, even just I felt a little chaotic like before we started, because I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even like plug in my microphone, like, because it's been a very busy week, and so I have to really really, and so that makes me really scared
mm-hmm.
so yeah. it's I think for me it's been really recognizing how many emotions I do feel often,
yeah,
because even growing up, like, I was such a tomboy and I hung out with just mostly boys, like I was an athlete, all this stuff. Boys don't talk about their feelings. So yeah. I'm not going to talk about my feelings, you know? Yeah. And so it's been this whole learning thing, I think. Like, some of it feels very elementary for me, you know? And I started, and it's like I'm a grown woman in my 30s, and I'm still sometimes really learning how to actually articulate
yep.
how I feel. So, yeah, fear is a big one. Yeah, I think I hit all of them. It just depends on when you ask me.
Yeah, 100%. I read this book. I believe it is called How Emotions Are Made. Mm. Gosh, what's her first name? It's like Feldman, I think is her last name.
Okay.
It's probably on my bookshelf. But anyways, she's talking about how our emotions have, your fingerprint of anger is different than my fingerprint of anger. So how it affects your physiology is different for me. And also how even fear and anger for me mm-hmm. can physiologically respond the same. And as I started to understand this book, there's more to the book than that, but that was just one piece.
Yeah.
I began to understand why sometimes it was hard for me to identify and name how I was feeling. I just knew it was a distressing feeling, but I yeah. couldn't have told you. I mean, I felt shame for years over certain yeah. things.
Yeah.
But in reality, I was not feeling shame. I was feeling fear and vulnerability.
Huh. Mm.
I had done nothing wrong, but I felt this immense yucky shame. And I think it was because I just paid attention to the sensation and I didn't know the context because I wasn't working through the things in the way that, again, I didn't know how. So I'm giving myself grace now, but I wasn't then.
Yeah.
And I don't know where I was going with that, but moving towards.
That's good. Sorry, helpful. I cut you off. Moving towards.
Moving towards those emotions to me is the first step. And I know for most people in their healing, if you start with Curable and you start with Sarno and you start with Schubiner, you're going to start more with pain reprocessing therapy and interrupting the cycle of pain and pain neuroscience education and whatnot. And that is absolutely a must for healing.
Yeah.
It's one of the tools that I think we need pain neuroscience education.
Yeah.
But for me, because I hadn't discovered that there was such a thing, I started with moving towards my emotions and writing. And so the writing was incredibly powerful for me, the journaling and being able to identify what was actually behind this thing that I'm labeling as shame or what is behind this anger that is actually maybe fear. You know, it's so often that we're mislabeling or maybe there's multiple layers to the way that we're feeling. And for me, that writing was just such a huge blessing and tool. And to me, that's the most important part that leads us to Christ, that leads us to God in these conversations. Because the way that I journal and the way that I have people journal is to really, first it's like, okay, what's the brain dump? What is everything related to this thing? And then how do I feel like the true emotions? And we talk about this a lot in healing, feel to heal and letting them be present in our bodies. But then to me as a Christian, I don't think God leaves us in that space. He has something for us in that space. And generally it's either him coming alongside us and saying, hey, let me love you in this.
Yeah.
Or it's him saying, actually, there's a better way.
Mm.
Let's go this way. Let's change our thoughts. Let's rewire your brain. Let's change the neural pathways towards this way. And I just feel like he's very often... He is always faithful. I don't always hear clearly, but he is faithful to show me what is truth in that space. So have you done much writing?
You know, I definitely started with the journaling stuff. Journaling is really hard for me.
Yeah.
I just don't like it. Not in the, like, I think I would rather talk it out than journal it out. And so... I don't know. I you know, I've heard that like resistance to the work in quotations can be in itself like a symptom. I think sometimes with writing, it's like, I think faster than I write. And so then sometimes it's like the scribble. I'll do the scribble rather than trying to actually write it out. And I've had some, I've had some very good success. So I don't journal much right now. I know it's good. I don't like it. I don't know. It's, The other day I had, there's just a lot changing in my life. And so the last month and a half I've just felt everything. And, and I love Dan Buglio and, you know, he had a video of where he's like, you know, life can be so much stuff can be going on, but it doesn't have to mean that it, you know, there's more intense physical symptoms happening at the same time.
Yeah.
And I was having time with God and I said it out loud. I was like, cause you mentioned the trust piece. I was like, God, I don't trust you. And I don't actually think that you have anything good for me. And I think for me to just say it, like God already knew that's how I felt, you know? Yeah. And I think they're like saying it, I was like, oh, I can't believe I just said that. Like, and I'm thankful for, you know, my parents are pastors and I've never been like, you can't tell God. No one has ever said that to me. I think probably in the back of my mind, though, sometimes I'm like, do you really want me to say like exactly what it is that I'm feeling? But releasing that without any of my situation changing, there was such a change in my body. And then just like the anxiety I had been feeling, it just started to release. And so I think maybe sometimes for me, like just processing in the morning is when I'll go sit in the back and get like morning sun and just kind of process with God. Yeah. And so it was, I think that's one of the most impactful things probably in the last year that's happened, with like being really, really confrontive with like, what is it that I feel? And it's like, 'cause I kept saying like, you know, God, I'm doing what I feel like you've been asking of me. I'm trying to be obedient. And so like, I've just been kind of foggy and I freeze. Like when stuff goes down, I freeze. I become very disengaged to life, to what I'm feeling. Like, I'm just like, I'm gonna go lay down. I just felt, and I wasn't doing it for symptom relief, right? Like that wasn't my goal.
Yeah.
But how beautiful to kind of come after that. I was able to then be like, no, God, but I know this about you. So I actually know that deep down, I do trust you. Like, I made this huge decision because I heard you say it. So if I didn't trust you, I wouldn't have done it. Like, you know, but kind of bringing my thoughts back into alignment with who God is.
Yeah.
As well as being very honest and very real about what it is that my current thoughts were, you know, which I know is why, you know, journaling and all that is so important to just get it out.
Yeah. You're right. It's that realness that for me, the writing does is allow me to dig and get to the realness. And maybe, I mean, as we're talking about this, I'm realizing maybe it's because for the longest time, I didn't know how to be real with what I was really feeling, because culture doesn't encourage that. And rightfully so, right? You don't want to yell at your friend who was late for lunch. That's not the answer. And that's, I think, something people get confused about this a little bit too, is being honest and raw and real with the things like you're saying, like, I'm angry at God, or I don't trust you, or I hate this person, is not the end. It's the beginning. It's just the getting it out there so that we can then change or own it, or and that's where I think that my approach is different than most TMS approaches, because most of them are just say how you feel. That's the end. Which does have a release.
Yeah.
But I don't want to live in this constant having to release that feeling. I want to rewire my brain. I want to know the truth that I can be busy and not be in urgency mode. I can be slow and busy. I can be calm and busy, and that's it's such a practice to learn how to do. Mm-hmm. But it is beautiful when I do implement that. I love it.
Is there, so you mentioned releasing or processing these things with God, and I know fear is like a big one for a lot of people. However you feel comfortable sharing, but like in your own life or just ways that you process with clients, like what does it practically mean to like lean into God with that fear and then let him take it with you and then reprocess that neural pathway?
Yeah. Yeah. Big question.
Yeah.
Good question. So I'll tell you what it meant for me was, I was definitely in counseling and also doing the writing and many things to where I could start to identify, okay, I have a pattern of feeling fear of rejection for saying something stupid. Let's just use that as an example, a very real example. Yeah. And so what does God, have to, so taking the time to explore that in whatever way that means, that whatever way is efficient or works for you, and identifying, okay, what is it that I believe mm-hmm. in this? What is it in this that I believe? And, mm-hmm. you know, it's that like, okay, well, then I'm not going to have a good, I don't know, they're going to think of me poorly. Now I'm, my reputation is tarnished. Because now I'm stupid. Here's the first claim. It's false. I'm stupid. Also, I'm unlovable because I'm stupid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting down to, okay, well, what are the false things that I believe out of this?
Yeah.
And then saying, okay, what is the truth? And for me, that writing, the way that I did my writing was three parts. And that third part, in the same way that we're kind of listening to our subconscious, as in the emotions mm-hmm. that are not resolved and giving them space to get out on a piece of paper, I also actually believe that God has been teaching us things over time. And so I mm-hmm. allow just kind of my pen to like, what do I know to be true? What over the years has God shown me mm-hmm. to be true that I have not, again, not processed, not dealt with?
Yeah.
So hopefully by the end of that third piece, I have, I don't know that I ever have not come to a place where God is like, hey, there's going to be times that you might feel a little bit alone and you're not alone.
Mm.
Or you know, let's just use that as an example. There's many different, you know, and I like to, for myself, I like to come up with a short summary of that last piece of writing. What is something, just a nugget that God shows me. But then we're talking about a rewiring, right? Because my brain is wired to create physiological organ responses in my body and to send the danger signal of pain.
Yeah.
So this, you're like a machine in a sense. It is set up to run that way. And this is why it's not your fault. You're set up to run this way, but now you have been shown these tools that we have. And so now we get a choice to change and rewire, but how do we do that? Right. And I do think the first step is honesty, like we're talking about. And then I personally have something I call the plan, which is what are the pieces or the people and the places that for me that thing is a trigger? Where does this show up in my life that let's call it people pleasing or social anxiety or something?
Yeah.
Where does it show up in my life? And I'll pick like three places of where I know that is my body is going to respond in this way until I tell it differently.
Mm.
And so that's the P. The L is what's my new language? Maybe it's as simple as I am loved. I am cherished by God, regardless of when I say ridiculous things.
Yeah.
The new A. Yeah. Cause it's going to happen, right?
It's going to happen.
Yeah. So the P, L, and then the A is my new attitude and my new sensation. So the next time I'm in a social situation, what's the new sensation? And I practice these things. I mean, I visualize and I will visualize myself being in a scenario where I would be triggered. I put my body in the new sensation, the space that I am planning for it to be. And I practice. I practice changing how my body responds. I practice my new attitude. I practice the truth. And at times when I was healing, I would write essays and I would write essays to myself of, okay, this people pleasing piece, what are three scenarios? And I do three paragraphs. I would never share any of them with anybody because the grammar is so terrible. The sentences do not make sense. And that's not the point, you know?
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
So that's like kind of my practical way of rewiring so that when I am then in that situation, I've been here before and succeeded. Even though it was in a practice scenario, my brain is like, oh, I've done this before. She knows how to trust God in this.
Yeah.
I think we'll operate in this way. So for me, that is a helpful part. So maybe that in curable, that would probably be visualization maybe or graded imagery.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. That's really great. And I think, we love, it's not an acrostic. What is it?
Lacrosse?
PLAN. It's a.
Yeah. Oh, acronym?
Thank you. I was like, I cannot think of the.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, acronyms are so helpful to remember ring some of those things. I'm reading J.P. Moreland wrote a book about, he had really intense anxiety attacks. And he is a theologian out of Biola. And he's a chemist as well. And he, one of the things he, I'm only in chapter three and I'm just like soaking it up. But he talks about a lot of times too, how there's a lot of things that we tend to feel about ourselves that is like a collective, like the average person feels this. Like, and so sometimes he talks about like when I start feeling, you know, maybe I'm having this really intense negative thought about myself. And it's like learning how to navigate, like, actually this is something that like everybody kind of feels in this situation. And so I don't think I actually hate myself. I think I've like, I've just learned how to have this like thought in this situation, kind of like what you're talking about. And so recognizing like, okay, this actually doesn't mean anything about me. I've been trying this lately. That's why I'm saying it. This doesn't actually have to say anything about me. It's just that this is how I've learned how to respond to this situation. And so, and then, yeah, like you're saying, like, how do I want to respond to this? What are some actually helpful thoughts I could have towards the situation? You know, and it's not like a surefire plan every single time for me, you know, and it's like I ace it every time. But I love that having a plan. I love that having like a preemptive strategy, because we know we can't avoid triggers our whole life, and we can't avoid, you know, scenarios in life that are going to be painful and stressful and all of that kind of stuff. But we can navigate, you know, how we're going to respond to that. So I love that. That's super helpful.
Yeah. For me, the sentence, "I am safe even when," is really helpful. Which is a little bit of a tangent of what you were just talking about, but essentially like, I am safe even when my inner voice is mean. I am safe even when I am rejected. I am safe even when I do sound stupid, or, you know, whatever the lie is that you believe. Yeah. I'm safe even when I'm busy. can really help. But yeah, and you bringing up that whole inner language, that the monologue we have, the way we treat ourselves, is to me one of the four things that just really is a fuel for danger in our bodies.
Totally.
Our own voice is the meanest one of all the voices that you'll hear.
It's
a battle for sure.
For people that you encounter that are a little bit more resistant to being willing to like go into those emotions, are there any ways that you kind of navigate some of that?
That's difficult. I think the first thing to ask is, what is the resistance? I even have to remind myself of this constantly. Move towards anything and everything. You know, if you're like, if you're like, I don't like public speaking, move towards it. If you don't like, I don't know, what he's writing, but I'm not trying to point you out.
No, you're good.
There's, you know, there's some things that we don't like because we just don't like them. And that's just a preference thing, although it is wired and learned, but which is really empowering for me to realize is like, oh my goodness, all my preferences, all the things, like I am who I am because of things that happened around me, and my brain wired that I liked that thing because of what happened around it. It is so cool. I just totally derailed myself from, did you ask me a question? I know I just went on a tangent.
You were saying moving towards everything.
Yeah. I think the moving towards the fears is the first thing. And that's the same as resistance. So moving towards it, like, so in session the other day, I definitely had somebody say exactly like you just said about the writing. I'm having some resistance to it. And so we actually did writing together on like, well, what's the resistance? And there was a huge nugget in there of something that needed to be discovered before she started writing. And again, I'm not saying that writing is the only way. I'm just saying that if we have like, if there's a resistance to it, that is an avoidance. Because it's a trigger, then it is something that the brain is, in the same way it takes these sensations that are normal, like using your spine and right. is afraid of them and creates pain out of them, yeah. the brain can do the same thing for things like being in social situations or going to a therapist or writing or all these things. So I feel like a big part of healing is just moving towards.
No, it's good. It is good. Yeah, we can't. Yeah. Everything I'm doing right now, I'm terrified of. And it's like, you kind of just have to start.
Yeah.
Emotionally or just everything else in life. It's that's really good.
And with a gentleness too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Not shaming ourselves through it. Like I just need to just, all right, here we go. Fear.
Yeah. I often think of just the fruits of the spirit. Move with those. Yeah. And don't move towards the fears if you're not able to do it with gentleness and kindness, because that's just going to wire it as even more scary. And
totally.
So
that's really good. Yeah. Well, so we talked a little bit about, you just mentioned it, the fruits of the spirit. I would love if you could take us through, you kind of have a, what do you call it?
A somatic practice with the fruits of the spirit. And so I don't even have a recording of this anywhere. So Whitney and I had talked about this a little bit beforehand. So I think I'll just do maybe two of the fruits of the spirit. It normally takes about 15 minutes. So we'll just do a short one. And I'm definitely going to go into kind of like breathing meditation mode. So bear with me.
I love it.
But yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and actually kind of start us with prayer.
Love it.
And if that's all right with you.
Yeah.
Okay. God, we just know that you are present, and we know that you love us. And part of healing is learning to, or teaching our bodies to believe the things that we claim and the things we say. And so just want to submit this time to you as we just do this somatic exercise with the fruits of the spirit that are gifts from you. So go ahead and just find a place that is comfortable for you. Maybe even pause this while you find a place. Getting yourself quiet to listen. We often don't create the space in our lives to be still before the Lord. So once you've found a comfortable place, just taking a few deep breaths in . I personally like to breathe into my stomach, kind of stretching the diaphragm. And exhaling fear. And I'm going to just lead us through the fruits of the spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so starting with love, just breathing in his love, breathing it into your stomach, breathing it into your head, kind of imagining his love in your hands and your feet. And allowing yourself to hear and know the truth that I am loved because of God. If you're by yourself, it can be powerful to say this out loud. Doing a quick body scan to check and see if you have any emotions that are contrary to love in your body, into your torso area. Maybe that would feel like tightness in the chest or a pit in the stomach. just noticing them. And then breathing in again, God's love into that space. Not necessarily chasing away the emotion, but allowing God's love to meet it. And then joy. Just slightly lifting your face, just a little bit. Almost like you're showing your face to the Lord. And allowing His joy to fall on your countenance. Even maybe choosing to turn your mouth up a little bit into a smile. Letting your body echo the truth that I can allow joy because it is a gift. And then the next one is peace. Letting calm fall and flow into your veins. It helps me to picture that peace that passes understanding in my arteries flowing. For me, it helps to imagine it's warm. Knowing the truth that I do have access to peace that passes understanding. And again, noting any thoughts that you have that are noisy. Where are they? Maybe it's just feels clustery in your head or tension in your back. Allowing God's peace. Again, breathing in God's peace into those thoughts. He is peace. And maybe again saying out loud, I have peace. And then patience. He is slow to anger. He is patient. And allowing that character of His to be and to be embodied in your energy. Letting go of urgency. Allowing slow. Believing the fact that I can take my time. Because He is leading me in the perfect timing. Especially for those of us who want to pressure the healing journey to be faster. We can trust His timing. We can be patient. I can allow my body and my nervous system to enjoy that. If you're actually listening and partaking, you might want to just pause and just let yourself sit in that for a little bit until you're ready to come out, as I'm not going to go through the rest of them. But just take your time, knowing His goodness, knowing His kindness, His faithfulness. His gentleness and a sound mind, which is a huge gift.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was really good. I love that. I loved it. I'm relaxed now.
I know. You know, it's always, I actually enjoy doing it for myself also, yeah. Not just listening to it.
Totally. Yeah, totally. So can you share with everyone where they can find you? And
My website is thoughtbythoughthealing.com. And my email is the same, thoughtbythoughthealing@gmail.com, which is a mouthful. Well, it's pretty easy to say, but it's hard to type out. It's like the longest website ever. I have a YouTube channel and a podcast called Thought by Thought Healing. And I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. I just post little tidbits of either science or gospel on those two platforms on basically a daily basis. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. This was definitely really fun to get to kind of add this faith perspective to it. I think it's so,
yeah.
I think, I know we both feel this way. There's a lot of times people are like, well, you know, call it God, call it the universe, call it your higher self. And, you know, those kind of things. And I just think it's extra imperative, especially in these times, to really understand, like, it's not one name in different forms. It's
right.
It is how God created us and how he created our minds and our brains. So it's, an honor to get to talk to you about this. I really appreciate it.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood, as well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.